Take your Bibles, please, tonight. Let's turn together to the first passage that I want you to look at, a Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And then I would like for you to turn me over to John chapter 8. I'm going to look at a verse or two in John chapter 8. But the first passage I want you to look at with me is in the Song of Solomon. And here we have a Shulamite who is a servant girl, one who worked outside a great deal. She was sunburned and suntanned with all of the work that she had done, and she gains the favor of the king of Israel. And we have their love story recorded here. It's almost a Cinderella story, as this young lady who is very simple, just a servant girl, gains the admiration of the king of Israel. And she says, when we get down to verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Here she says, "Who am I? Why did you choose me?" When you read this verse of Scripture, I think every one of us can identify, can we not, with the love that's been demonstrated to us in Jesus Christ. Why, Lord, did you choose to put your love on me? And the response that she has is one of love. "O thou whom my soul loveth." It's a beautiful picture, is it not? And I want to build upon that. Let's look over in John chapter 8. I want to focus on a verse of Scripture or two in verses 42, beginning there. Jesus said unto them, verse 42 of John chapter 8, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and come from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" I want to speak to you tonight on the subject here of thou whom my soul loveth, loving God through Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the vast religions of the world, Judaism, Islam, all of them proclaim that they love God. Islam claims that Allah is God and they love God. In Judaism, they claim to love Yahweh. But what we find is in both religions a rejection of whom? Jesus Christ. Can you truly love God and not love His Son? And the answer is forever stated in the Bible here. You cannot. For it says there in that passage of Scripture, ye cannot love God and not love me. Look again at verse 42. "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." We're going to look at some other passages related to this particular theme, but I want us to ask ourselves some questions about our love for God and understand that you cannot love God apart from loving His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us tonight in your word. It's so easy in this world to proclaim love for God, but in most cases it's a rejection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore it is not love. It's something else. It's something abominable. It's something horrible because it rejects the one whom you sent in love to die for the sins of mankind, to make redemption possible through His shed blood. And I pray, dear Father, as we've gathered together tonight, and as we look at these passages of Scripture, that you would help us to gather to our hearts the need to understand that the only way we can show our love for you, Father, is to love your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's go back to Song of Solomon for just a few moments because this is such a beautiful passage. I want to begin reading at verse 1 and read up to verse 7 so we can have some context about the profession of love that this young lady has for Solomon. her king, but also now the one with whom she is in love with. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Here she talks to the daughters of Jerusalem, and they're a major figure in the book of Song of Solomon, because they are the greatest critics of the Shulamite woman. As you read through that, you see this back and forth between the daughters of Jerusalem and the Shulamite girl, because they saw her as totally unworthy of being loved by the king. They had all these excuses of why the king should not love her. Now those come out later. You don't see them in the first chapter. They're very complimentary of her because she has gained the attention of the king, but it soon changes. It takes on a religious connotation here of their hatred of her. But she herself is struggling with this understanding that he would love me. That he would love me. Of all the daughters of Jerusalem, of all the potential suitors of the king, he has chosen me, a servant girl. And in this book, as you read through the chapters, you see a picture here of the saint, chosen of God, and he puts his love on us. And we say with the Shulamite woman, why, Lord, have you chosen me? Among all the possible companions that you could have, why have you chosen me? And her response to that love was to simply state, thou whom my soul loveth. The response was, he loved me and I love him. Now folks, we need to understand something about the Christian relationship with God. It is a love relationship. It's not a technical relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Sometimes we look at things technically when it comes to spiritual verities and truths. Yes, we're sinners, and yes, God loved us and sent His Son to die on Calvary's tree and has redeemed it, but somehow there's sometimes a disconnect. We don't tell the Lord we love Him very much. We kind of take the approach that people have been married for a long time. Well, she knows that I love her. Or she said, he knows that I love him. We don't have to tell each other. Let me tell you something. You need to tell each other. All right? You need to tell each other. Don't assume. You need to make it a point of not only telling her, but proving it. And isn't that what God does for us? He tells us he loves us, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. You see, that's the interaction of someone who loves. They give of themselves to the other. And the response in receiving this love is to be stunned. I think that's a good way to put it. Do I hear an amen? Stunned that God should love us? That God should send His only begotten Son? That we might have life eternal in His Son? I think that's a word that best describes my approach. I'm stunned because there is nothing lovely within me. But God, in His act of His will, chose to will to love me. You know, I see people with their pets. And, you know, it used to be you didn't see pets in stores. Now, everywhere you go, you see pets. And I think it's kind of a neat thing in one way, as long as they clean up any messes that come along with them bringing their pets into the store and so forth like that. But I've met some nice pets going to halls and going to some of these other places that have, you can bring your pets and so forth like that. I've met some nice ones, and I've seen some ugly ones. I have seen some ugly dogs. I mean, they are just as ugly as homemade sin. And that's pretty ugly. Isn't that right, Mr. O'Pad? Homemade sin's uglier than any other kind of sin, all right? And you'll see them just loving on that ugly dog. And all I can think of, that's God with me. Right? That's God with me. There's no reason why He should love me. It's just an act of His will. There's no reason that poor, ugly little dog should be loved so much by that person. All right? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for some of you that say, I have an ugly animal and I love it to death. All right? That's good. That's great that you do so. You have to overcome looks, though. Right? Some animals, bless their heart, are just ugly. All right? They're just not very good-looking animals. It's easy to love beautiful-looking animals. You see a beautiful golden retriever. It's just a beautiful dog. And you're just like, oh, that is just a wonderful dog. And then you'll see this pug that'll come up. Now, if you love pugs, I'm not criticizing. But let me tell you something. They haven't won any beauty contests lately. All right? You'll see some, they'll be cross-eyed. You'll see what have their nose turned all the way up into their head, and it's just like, wow. You know? And they're loved by their masters. And you scratch your head and say, what's so lovely? As if we have to be lovely in order to be loved. Do you know that that's a lie of Satan? It's a lie that's promulgated by Hollywood, by Madison Avenue, that the only way you can love is to love somebody that's beautiful. All right? And what does Satan do? He seeks to make all the world beautiful so that you'll love it. He's establishing a principle. But it's not a Bible principle. God loved us, He tells us, in spite of our sin. In spite of our ugliness, God chose to put His love on us. And it's not a conditional love. It's an unconditional love. This Shulamite woman, throughout the Song of Solomon, she constantly refers to the fact that she is totally undeserving of the love of the king. And that's a picture that you and I need to keep with us as we serve the Lord. We're totally undeserving of His love. If you get to the place where you start thinking that you deserve the love of God, you've misunderstood His love. You don't understand at all. The beauty of God's love is that we're totally undeserving, and yet He chose to place His will to love us. That's the beauty. And we call that another word, and that's called grace. All right? Grace is God bestowing His love upon unlovely creatures. Creatures that despise and curse God. Creatures that hate anything or any reference to God. He still loves them. You think of the worst person possible on this earth. You think of some of these atheists that are in your face constantly harassing Christians. And do you know that God loves them? Don't ever forget this, Christian. God loves them. In spite of their angry protest, they are loved of God Almighty. Not because they're lovely, but because they need His love. You and I need His love. And we have to be willing to bow before Him and receive His love. Amen? That's called repentance and faith. Receiving His love. Dr. J. Vernon McGee often uses this illustration that people are so unloving. God is pouring out His love, and they put this umbrella up and they shield themselves from the love that's pouring down from heaven upon them. As if, I don't need it. I don't need His love. Let me tell you something tonight. Every one of us in this room, every one of us needs the love of God, because that's the only way we'll know Him, so that we can hear His message of love. and receive that message of love, and then go spend all eternity with someone who loved us in spite of our sin. But I want to get a little bit deeper into this in the book of John. We're going to look at Matthew for just a few moments, because I think it's important for us to take to heart of this struggle to love God through Jesus Christ. Would you turn over to Matthew chapter 22 for just a few moments? Matthew chapter 22. I want to share with you some thoughts from this particular passage. Look at verse 37. I'll begin reading there. Jesus said unto him, all right? Now remember, he had been asked this question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much of your heart? With all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In other words, every part of your being. That's the greatest commandment, to love God. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it's interesting to me that as you go through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ made the connection that loving God the Father means knowing Him. And loving Him and receiving Him, because He is the connection point of love. Now get that, please. Jesus Christ is the connection point with the Father through His love. Look over again in, let's look in Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment, because there's another passage, verse 37. Our Lord again speaking, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Are you getting the connection? There is no receiving the Father without receiving the Son. There is no loving God without loving the Son. There is no loving Jesus by putting people, family, ahead of Jesus Christ. Now this is where people get all upset and angry at this point, right here. God doesn't expect us to love Him more than our family. Yes, He does. He said so in His Word. When we start substituting other loves in place of love for Jesus, then our love for God is not right, because we've got something else in the way. Can we love Jesus and love our families? Yes. And the best way to love your family is to love the Lord Jesus. Don't talk about how much you love your family and then not love the Lord Jesus. You're telling everyone, I really don't love my family. Because if you did love your family, you would love the Lord Jesus. The same thing is true of the Father. You cannot love the Father and not love His Son, Jesus. There is a connection point, and everything comes back to the Son, Jesus Christ. Now this is the point that I want to make, because the religions of this earth say you can love God and reject Jesus. All religions are not the same. Because you see, Christianity is not a mere religion. Christianity is different than all the religions of the world. Christianity says the only way you can love God is to love His Son, Jesus Christ. And the major religions of this world reject that. They want nothing to do with it. Some religions in the Far East put the mind as God. Or they'll put inanimate objects or living creatures as God. And it's to be loved apart from any person. But it's not possible. It's not possible. What is the relationship between loving God and loving Jesus? Why is that such a huge deal? Why am I emphasizing this tonight? Well, one reason it is on my front burner tonight is because it's massively relevant in evangelism. Reaching out to those that are lost. Reading the testimonies of Afghanis that have come to know Christ as a result of missionary work that came in after we went in 2001. Do you know that there were thousands of missionaries that went to Afghanistan when America went in and we were able to conquer the Taliban? We brought in all kinds of missionaries at that particular time. And the testimonies of Afghan believers, we were for the first time told that we could not love God. We could not love Allah, which is their name for God, which is what we would call Jehovah. We cannot love God unless we love Jesus Christ, His Son. We knew nothing about Jesus Christ, His Son, other than the fact that in the Muslim faith, Jesus is a great teacher. He was a great leader, but He wasn't the Son of God in their minds. And that one truth opened doors of understanding to these folks that had been all their lives told to love God, love Allah, love Allah, love Allah. Dedicate your life. Pray 5 times a day. Make your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Mecca. Why? Out of love for God. But their love was false love. Their love and all of the religious things that they had done was all false. And this is what you find when Muslims come to Christ. They have to reject their entire life lived. Because now they're acquainted with someone who loves. You see, their God Allah doesn't love them. Do you understand that? Their God Allah doesn't love them. Their God Allah is an angry God. Their God Allah is one that kills and destroys and wants them to destroy the infidels. They're not about love. They're about what? Hate. And whenever they are evangelized, they are told that there's a God who loves, and He proved His love by sending His only begotten Son. And the only way you can know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Evangelism of those that are in the world who are in false religions is teaching them that God loves them. Do you think that Imperial Japan taught that their God loved them? Think about that. World War II. What inspired men to crawl into an aircraft and to fly that aircraft from a base and seek to find a boat and to dive that airplane into it and kill themselves? All right? Kamikaze pilots. It was a religious act, by the way. Sacrificing themselves for their God. But in that entire concept, you can go down the line, Shintoism, Imperial Japanese beliefs, and so forth like that, there's no love. It's just an act whereby I give myself to my God, but there is no interaction with their God on a love relationship. And do you know that we have that privilege? Because we serve the true and living God who loved us and sent His Son to die for us that we might know Him, that we might be delivered from our sin. Let me just say this right now. If you're not working on your love relationship with the Lord, you're missing what Christianity is all about. If you're not working on your love relationship, you know, a husband and wife have to work at their love relationship. I think I can get an amen from that. It's work. It means putting self aside and serving the other and looking out for the other. Why? Because you love them. That's what love does. Love gives. But some people only view love as taking. And that's what the religion of the world says. Love is taking. But no, love is giving. And we need to get back in our thinking. In churches across America, we need to get back to thinking that we serve a loving God, and yes, He is totally righteous. He is holy. That's the only way He can love, by the way. You have to have a standard in place. Love does not condone evil. On what principle does that operate? It's called the principle of holiness. You cannot love evil. If you saw evil lurking, trying to take your child. You do everything possible to protect them from that. Why? Because you love them. You don't want them destroyed by evil. By the way, that's most of what parenting is. Do you know that? Parenting is seeking to keep your children from being taken by Satan. Because he hates them. But God loves them. And you want them to know the love of God. You want them to know that our relationship with God is the most important thing, because that's the beauty. We serve a God who actually loves us. And what should our response be? Just like the Shulamite and Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 7. Thou whom my soul loveth. Isn't that interesting, that expression in the Hebrew? That my soul loveth. It's not an infatuation like you have in middle school. All right? Take yourself back in time to middle school. You're moving out of elementary, and all of a sudden guys discover girls. And we hated them all of our lives up to this point. Right? The girls were the smart ones in the class. I was a big dummy, and all the girls were smarter than me. I remember when I got to Greek class at Bob Jones University, we had three girls in that class, and they were all straight A people. And I was over there struggling, trying to memorize the Greek alphabet. And they're over there acing quizzes, acing tests. And I said, you can't even be a preacher. And they looked at me and said, it doesn't look like you're going to make it either. Yeah. Smart ones. And all of a sudden, after elementary school, I discovered there's girls in here. And they're not so bad. You know, and you start getting infatuated with girls. You start liking girls all of a sudden. And then you realize, they don't want anything to do with you. But I want to tell you something. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of love that sacrifices. Personal sacrifice. That's what true love is. One more thought here before we close tonight. I want us to look again at John chapter 8. You'll turn over there. Actually, turn to John chapter 5, because there's a thought that I'd like to share from this particular passage as well. Look at verse 42 of John chapter 5. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Can you imagine hearing those words come from the lips of the Savior? I know you, and I know that you don't love God. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Even Moses testified of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He said, you won't even listen to your own prophet. You won't listen to me. You don't have the love of God in your heart. So what did they have? If they profess love for God, and it really wasn't love, what was it? It's what the majority of this world has. Emptiness. Remember our word from this morning, vain, kenos? That's what they have. They have a false, empty idea of what love really is. I want to encourage you tonight. We're living in very troublesome times, are we not? There's a lot to cause discouragement in our hearts, but I want you to know something. You are loved with an everlasting love. And that love is rooted in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the response of your soul to Him? Thou whom my soul loveth. That should be our response to God through His Son. Not an empty kind of love like the world has, but a real, genuine love in response to His love for us. I love Him because he first, what? Loved me. I have no reason to love him apart from the fact that he loved me first. And I responded to his love in the moment that I turned from my sin and turned from my wicked way, and I became a believer in Jesus Christ. And now it's the joy of the Christian to love the Father through the Son. Do you love the Father tonight through the Son, Jesus Christ? You can't do so apart from Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the testimony of the Shulamite servant girl, totally undeserving of the favor and love of the king. She was just a servant girl, but he loved her. And her response was, I love you, and I don't understand why you love me. I think all of us feel that way tonight. We look over our lives and realize that there's not anything within us that's lovely. But you and your perfect will reached out to us through your Son, not empty words of love, but rather actions of love, in sending your Son to die on Calvary's tree that we might have forgiveness of our sin. He had no sin in him. He was perfect, without sin, and yet he loved us. Lord, I pray that as believers in Christ, that we might understand this love relationship and that we might work with every fiber of our being to intensify our love for the one who gave himself for us. Because in doing so, in loving Jesus Christ, we are showing our love for thee, our Father. Lord, I pray that we might understand the connection and that we as believers in Christ might live for thee in a very special way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.